Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Defensive Security Podcast. This is Jerry Bell. Just a reminder, the opinions I express on this podcast are mine and mine alone and don't represent those of my employer. In this week's podcast, I'm going to talk about an article from an alleged hacking incident involving a software company called Solid Oak, who makes a web filtering product called CyberSitter. But first, I want to talk about a couple of news articles. The first is a new Zero Day in Internet Explorer, which most everyone has probably heard about by now. To me, the interesting thing here is that it shows a really great example of what's called a watering hole attack. And this is basically a situation where an attacker is able to leverage a specific site that certain types of people that the attacker wants to target congregate at. In this case, the watering hole was the Council on Foreign Relations. It's probably not very hard to think about what kinds of people might frequent that site, which would be interesting to an attacker. And the CFR wasn't the only site hit. There was also a turbine manufacturer hit. And in the same vein, you can also imagine the kinds of visitors to that type of site would also be interested to certain kinds of attackers. The last word on this is that Microsoft released a fix-it, which is an interim fix before the actual patch is available. But latest word is that even with the fix-it applied, it's still vulnerable. The situation is made a little bit worse because a couple days ago, someone created a Metasploit module to take advantage of the exploit. So I think we can expect that there's going to be a lot of mayhem ahead of the actual patch from Microsoft. So what lesson can we learn here? I think it's that even if you're not visiting dangerous sites like pornography or wares, and even if you are running antivirus and mostly patched, the internet is still a dangerous place. And one of the things this really points out is you really have to stay current with browser versions. If you were running the current versions, either 9 or 10 of Internet Explorer, you weren't vulnerable. But if you're running 6, 7, or 8, you are vulnerable. The downside is there's a lot of, especially business customers and enterprises, that still haven't gotten off IE6. And if they have, they've only managed to get to 7 or 8. So I think there's a lot of vulnerable workstations out there. And also, this is a really good example of the value of EMET. So EMET is the Microsoft Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit. It is a product that will let you enable some fairly advanced protections in Windows like ASLR and DEP, which do a very good job of preventing classes of exploits like we see with this case right here. The other good part about it is that it's free. So the other bit of news this week was the Turkish Certificate Authority, TurkTrust, apparently issued a inappropriate certificate to a company in Turkey, and that certificate was apparently able to generate legitimate appearing certificates for Google. And Google, of course, has a pretty sophisticated ability to detect when someone is trying to spoof them, and found it and has rang the alarm bell. To me, there's really nothing new or innovative here. I think most people hopefully realize that the concept of trust in certificate authorities is a bit of a joke. It really is as weak as the weakest link, and you really don't have any clue where the weakest link is. There are certificate authorities all over the world. Some of them are being hacked. Some of them apparently don't know how to issue the right kinds of certificates. And any one of them can generate a certificate in your name. And there's not a lot you can do about it, let alone even know that it's happening. So back to the main story about Solid Oak. This is a fairly interesting story, although I will say there's not a lot of details in the article that has been released on it in Business Week. So some details have to be made by inference, but we'll do what we can. So what do we know from the article? Apparently, Solid Oak got into a dust up with the Chinese government and some Chinese businesses who they allege stole the main product that Solid Oak sells called Cyber Sitter. And that particular product was being pretty widely distributed inside China as part of their Great Firewall of China initiative. And by the way, I remember this particular story from a couple of years ago, and it's kind of fallen off my radar, so pretty interesting to hear back about it. But the owner of Solid Oak, by the way, Solid Oak is a pretty small company, 8 employees, operates out of an old house-turned-office. Apparently, one or more of the Solid Oak employees were fished with some malware. And as often happens, that malware gave them access deeper into the company's network, and over the next couple of months, the owner was doing full-on battle with the attackers, who apparently had compromised what appears like most of their workstations, their web server, and their email server. The story is actually a little frustrating to read as a incident response person, because there are just so many fairly obvious clues, but I have to temper my criticism with the fact that I wasn't there. I don't know what they saw. So let's talk about what they saw. So apparently they saw evidence of webcams on their computers being turned on and off. That prompted them to tape over the microphones and actual cameras to try to get some privacy. In the article, the owner describes going off to a cabin in the woods and cycling through 4 different phones on 4 different telephone carriers. What specifically frustrates me about that is it's very clear they had a understanding that they were pretty thoroughly owned, and yet they were apparently continuing normal business with the systems that they knew were compromised. And I think this ties back to something that really gets under my skin, and it's this feeling that people portray that we're really defenseless against these ultra-sophisticated attacks from the great Chinese advanced persistent threat. And again, I say it's bunk. There's a really telling quote in the actual article from Nicholas Prococo. He says, from a hacker's point of view, everything that Milburn, who is the owner of Solid Oak, experienced is technically pretty elementary. And based on what's in the article, I would tend to agree. So what can we learn from Solid Oak's experience? I think the first thing is that the entire attack likely happened because of the initial malware infection, which came from some employees being tricked into launching malicious email or clicking on some malicious links. And that really points back to something I harp on a lot, that people are the weakest link. And we all know that antivirus performs pretty poorly when it comes to detecting previously unseen malware. The other thing is, we know that attackers who are specifically trying to target someone are going to go out of their way to try to package up malware in such a way that antivirus engines aren't going to detect it. So the whole discussion is kind of moot, because we know that by design, antivirus isn't going to be able to detect this, because the attackers have gone to the trouble to make sure it doesn't. And we really rely very heavily on people to be able to recognize these threats, the phishing emails and the watering hole websites, but they're becoming extremely hard to actually recognize. So it's becoming less and less of a valuable control. Now, that's not to say that awareness training is not important, but as a line of defense, it's becoming increasingly weak. I think the next thing we can learn is that it really is important to not use email and web browsers on systems that are used to perform administrative functions on key systems and applications. This is becoming something of a trend. We've seen it in RSA, we see it in South Carolina, and there's probably many others where administrators or people who have administrative rights are doing their business on a computer. They get compromised, and the attackers leverage the access these people have to dig deeper into the network. The other side of that is not to use administrative IDs for normal work. Again, nothing surprising, pretty basic. Don't continue to use systems you suspect are compromised. Get them off the network. It's really important. The next thing is, when a system has been compromised or you strongly suspect that it was compromised, the only reliable recourse is to rebuild the system. And by the way, I don't know for a fact that these things actually played a part in Solid Oak's problem, but I'm inferring that they were based on experiences I've had. The other thing is, when an Active Directory network becomes compromised, recovery is really complicated because you don't know necessarily all the places that the attacker might have a foothold. The next thing is to take this stuff seriously. And by that I mean, realize that even advanced attackers don't have magic pixie dust. They have to use actual block and tackling attacks that can be detected, that can be prevented, that can be undone. And also look holistically at the situation rather than at things piecemeal. You know, in this a situation where you have potentially pissed off some unscrupulous foreign entities, you are seeing employees who have been receiving strange phishing emails, you've gotten workstations that are having their webcams turn on and off at strange times, your email server is being turned on and off at random, and your web application that processes your orders is only working at about 1% of the time. When you take that as a whole, you kind of have a pretty clear picture of what's happening. And finally, I think probably the major lesson for me is it's really a bad time to start learning about information security when you have an active attack happening. And the corollary to that is, if you don't have the right skills on board to deal with the situation, bring some in, especially when you have money on the line. So what kinds of things might have either stopped this or mitigated the attack based on the little bit we know? First, I think, is to ensure that you segregate administrative functions and normal business functions onto different computers. As I mentioned before, it's becoming increasingly common for attackers to go after people who have privileges on applications and servers, rather than trying to attack those systems themselves. So don't make it easy for them. The most important thing, I think, is to not do things like browse the internet and work with email on a system that is being used to administer your key applications and servers. Hopefully that's fairly basic, but I see it happening fairly often. My next recommendation would be to use application whitelisting on workstations and servers. Whitelisting is a pretty effective tool for preventing things like this when you have a person potentially running a piece of malware that hasn't been classified by an antivirus engine. The downside is they tend to be a pain in the butt. It's very difficult to classify and whitelist all of the applications that you might need in an organization, and certainly the larger your organization, the more difficult that becomes. But it's definitely an important control to consider. Next is to properly isolate servers from workstations, even on small networks. Again, I don't know the topology of the network at Solid Oak. It may have been great, I don't really know, but I see time and time again a fairly flat network where if a workstation gets compromised, it's really trivial to hop from the workstation onto a server. Again, It's all about making it difficult. Make the attackers have to work. Make it so they will trip up. Next is to implement strict egress filtering on your networks, especially with servers. Most servers don't have to talk out to the internet. And if that's the case, don't let them. Only allow the specific ports and the specific destinations that are absolutely needed. Block everything else. If one of your servers does become compromised, they have a heck of a time figuring out how to exfiltrate data if there's no clear channel to the outside. I'm definitely not going to say it's impossible because, as we've seen with some of the other cases like DigiNotar, these guys can get pretty creative. But again, make it hard. And then finally, proxy all of your workstation connections to the internet. Don't allow wide open access to the internet. It's just bad news. Without a lot more details, it's definitely hard to tell whether or not these types of things would have prevented the Solid Oak problem or not, but I've got to believe, based on my experience and what I've read in the article, it's very likely that it would have helped. And, you know, it is definitely an unfortunate situation, and I feel for the owner of Solid Oak. I can't imagine what I would have done in that situation, given the background that he has. Probably would have done very similar things, but ask for help. That's my big piece of advice. Anyhow, that's the podcast for this week. I hope everybody's having a great new year so far. I'm finally getting over my cold. The last podcast, I was probably a little unintelligible. I apologize for that. I will look forward to talking to you all next week. Take care.